Now, another BloomerBoomer.com podcast. Your host, Andy Asher, living life over 55. Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I had forgotten how crushingly dull these ceremonies are. Thank you.
As Wikipedia has it, that is John Stewart, an American political satirist, writer, director, television host, actor, media critic, and stand-up comedian, widely known as host of The Daily Show, that satirical news program that airs on Comedy Central. Well, hi, everyone. Now, I figure that unless you're a one percenter, you've had to rely on credit cards, along with the inherent credit card debt, and from my experience, not particularly fun. But on the flip side, having a credit card in our world is at least, something we need to have. It can be a blessing, it can be a curse, and that's part of what nationally recognized credit card expert Beverly Hartsog talks about. She's our guest today, whom I want to thank for taking the time. Now, catch the title of her new book, Confessions of a Credit Card Junkie, Everything You Need to Know to Avoid the Mistakes I Made, which goes to show even the experts can get into trouble. She's a former CPA and has an MBA and more.
Well, I'm a boomer myself, so I can speak from personal experience with this, too. I think one of the issues that, boomers face is that you've got increased medical expenses. I mean, and this just kind of comes along with the territory. You know, even if you work hard to keep yourself in shape, you know, sometimes things happen that can impact your cash flow. So, you know, I know of a lot of people who have gotten into a little bit of credit card debt because their cash flow, got decreased because of their increased medical expenses. So, I mean, that's one thing to kind of keep an eye on. And right now, with all the healthcare issues going on and the insurance, you know, this could be a tricky time for people. Another thing that I myself have experienced, I have a daughter in college. I have a son about to go to college. So you've got a lot of extra expenses, you know, when you're a boomer at this point, if you have children. College is very, very expensive. And sometimes, you know, we're also, and my parents have both passed away, but up until a few years ago, I was caught in that sandwich generation where, you know, I was also helping out my parents some with their expenses. So when you're a boomer, you can get extra expenses from so many different areas of your life. And it's easy to get into credit card debt if you don't have the cash flow, especially if you're on a fixed income. That can be difficult to resolve these issues.
You know, Beverly, I think credit cards have gotten more of us into trouble. I mean, it's really not an easy thing to understand sometimes, is it?
I think it's a challenge for everyone. None of us are born knowing how to use credit. It's not intuitive at all. And, you know, credit card issuers don't make it easy either. You know, everything is just written in legalese by lawyers, and it's just difficult to understand what your terms are sometimes.
And the great thing about you, Beverly, is you also have all of the credentials to talk about credit card debt as a former CPA, along with an MBA and 2 years on a doctoral degree. But the other part of it is that makes you more, even more real, is that you've gone through some of the hardships caused by credit.
When I first got out of college, I started getting all of these credit card offers. I was really bombarded with them. And I had very little experience with credit. I had one department store credit card, and so I was just intrigued and started applying for all of these cards. I ended up with 7 credit cards. This is when I was in my 20s, and maxed all of them out. I had a lot of impulsive spending. I didn't track my spending. I did just about everything you could possibly do wrong with credit cards. And so one day I realized what a giant mess I was in. That one retail card I had that I had started out with, it got taken away from me because I wasn't paying my bills on time and was over my limit. And that was kind of my, rock bottom moment where I decided, okay, enough already. I need to figure out what I'm doing with my life. I need to straighten this out. It's just, it's very stressful when you're in credit card debt. So I started learning everything I could possibly learn about personal finance and credit. And ironically, at the time, I was also an accountant and studying for the CPA exam. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of ironic that, you know, I had this financial background, but, you know, I can tell you personal finance is so completely different. And getting into debt can just happen to anyone. It doesn't matter who you are. Everyone is susceptible if they don't understand the basic rules. So as I started to understand, you know, finance, I got myself a budget. I started tracking my spending, and I started paying down my debt as best I could. I just started making sure I made my payments on time. I wasn't even doing that originally. And then I started doubling my payments and tripling them. You know, I cut out as many expenses as I could in my personal life so that I could throw every penny, extra penny I had at the debt. And once I got going, the momentum was carrying me. So it was making sacrifices, but it was paying off. So it was, you know, it was keeping me going. So then during this time, I started doing some personal finance writing, left the corporate world and became a personal finance journalist and focused on credit because I wanted to help people avoid what had happened to me. And so I, you know, these days I have my own credit card blog on my site. I'm a consumer advocate, and my book, Confessions of a Credit Junkie, is kind of an overview of just, you know, the basics you need to know to stay out of trouble with credit cards.
And the thing that I've discovered, Beverly, is that if you find yourself in mounting credit card debt, well, the scary part of it is there's really no silver bullet as a means of getting out of it.
No, yeah, that's what makes it kind of scary, right? You know, one thing that I recommend in terms of credit cards is having one credit card that's the lowest interest you can possibly get. And for those who have excellent credit, there are credit cards out there as low as 7.5%, believe it or not. So I like having a credit card with a low interest rate for emergencies. All right, let's say some big medical thing happens or some, you know, someone in your family gets ill, you know, and you've got some extra expenses for a few months. You know, if you've got a credit card with a low APR, it's not going to be as painful if you have to carry balance for a couple of months. So that's a good thing to have in your back pocket. Another thing to have would be a cash back credit card. I know a lot of boomers who have these, and they save money, you know, on groceries, gas, just your everyday expenses. And it, you know, it may not seem like a whole lot of money at the time, but this adds up, and this helps you. You know, it helps you try to make ends meet. So there are a couple of ways you can use credit cards to, it, you know, at least help you minimize some of the damage. But like you say, there's no silver bullet. So, you know, sometimes it can't be avoided to use credit cards and maybe have to carry a balance now and then. But there are some steps you can take to kind of minimize, you know, the damage.
And then once in credit card debt, it may alarm you to discover that you're not getting anywhere if you just rely on paying the minimum payment.
Oh, absolutely. It could go on for a very long time, especially if you've got thousands of dollars, you know, in credit card debt. I know when I was paying down my debt years ago, and I still recommend this method today because, you know, frankly, it's, you know, it's very straightforward, but it does work over time, but you have to be patient. You know, first, make the minimum payments. Be sure that they're all on time so that you don't end up trashing your credit score. You need a very good credit score when you're older. A lot of people think, oh, I don't need to worry about that now. No, you do, because a good credit score will help you save on insurance and all kinds of things. So it really enhances, you know, other parts of your life, you know, and you can save money in other ways.
That's a good bit of advice, the fact that that, in fact, affects other parts of your life. I didn't know that.
It does. It does. And if you want to refinance your home, you're going to get a better rate if you've got an excellent credit score. But it also will help you get lower premiums on life insurance and health insurance and car insurance. So, you know, this is one thing that, you know, in my book, Confessions of a Credit Junkie, I'm trying to get across. It's not just that you want a great credit score to get the best credit card offers, but it actually does help you save money in other areas of your life. And as we get older, all this insurance is very, very important.
So let's say my credit rating does take a hit and it goes downhill as fast as a bobsled. So what steps can you take to start improving that credit rating?
Okay, that's a great question. And the answer really depends on how bad your credit score is when you get started. Let's say, for the sake of the conversation here, that your credit score really got trashed. Okay, perhaps you co-signed on a credit card for somebody and they helped trash your credit. One thing you can do to get back into the credit card game, and I do recommend using credit cards even when you have bad credit, because you can use the credit cards to rebuild your credit. Secured credit cards are a great tool for doing this. Even if you have bad credit, even if you've been through a bankruptcy, now some issuers, have different rules for recent bankruptcies if it's gotten that bad. But on my site, I have a whole list of secured cards, and I rank them according to how easy they are to get, how great they are, and fees and so forth. But if you can get a secured card, you can use that to rebuild your credit as long as you get a card that reports to all three major credit bureaus. So I recommend secured cards for people rebuilding credit and for people trying to establish credit, like young adults, immigrants to this country. Sometimes they use a secured credit card to try to develop credit in the States. So these are great tools to rebuild credit. And I would say that use the credit card. You can't rebuild your credit if you're not actually using credit. So I would say use a credit card. Don't use more than 10, 20% of your limit. And pay the bill on time every month. And in about 12 to 18 months, you should see progress on your score. I mean, you'll see it all along the way. But it'll take about 12 to 18 months to make a big impact on your score. So it just takes patience, persistence, and paying attention to the details. You know, be sure you make all your payments on time.
And tell us again, what is a secured card?
All right. Andy, a secured credit card is a card where you put down a security deposit in a deposit with the bank that issues the card. This can range from, usually ranges from about $300 minimum. It can go, some of them let you put it in several thousand dollars. And that money stays in that account. You do get that money back as long as you use the card responsibly. You get a credit card. It does not say secured on it. And your credit limit will be anywhere from that deposit you made to, it can even be a little more than the deposit that you made. It depends on the card. Sometimes if they think that, oh, you're still a pretty good risk, maybe you only put down $200 and you get a $600 credit limit. So that kind of varies. But so you use the card just like you would any other credit card, and you're actually buying your purchases on credit. Now, the opposite of that is the unsecured credit card, and that's like a Chase Freedom card, Chase Sapphire, just your standard unsecured credit cards. And these where you do not have to put down a deposit in the bank. These are the kinds of offers you get in the mail or you'll see on credit card comparison sites. So that's the main difference. And the secured credit card is designed to help you rebuild your credit with a minimum risk to the issuer. So they're more willing to take a chance on you and let you have a credit card again. Whereas the unsecured card, you know, they've decided you're a good risk, and so they're just going to give you the card without a deposit.
And then I guess there are those super high interest rate credit cards that practically anybody can get. What do you think of those?
Nobody likes those.
Okay.
It's very, very important that if you get one of those cards, and if you're getting a card like this to improve your credit, because you can get, even with bad credit, I could name some cards out there where you could get an unsecured card, but the credit, the APR might be close to 30%. Now, if this is the route people decide to take, it's just very important they don't carry a balance. But the other side of this, too, is some of these card issuers, and I call them predatory lenders, those type of cards also come with some really big fees, even monthly maintenance fees. So, you know, if you're in the bad credit category and you're trying to get out and you're looking at credit cards, it's just really, really important to read all the fine print. And on my side, I have a blog, and I do credit card reviews, and I'll even do I'll do requests if anyone wants to send me an email or request a credit card review.
Okay, so we've all made mistakes when it comes to credit cards. Let's assume that anyway. What are some of the biggest mistakes to avoid?
Okay. All right. You know, the first mistake I list in my book is applying for every credit card, and that's real a big no-no. And this is my first big mistake I made when I was young. What can happen, and, you know, especially these days when the economy is still a little bit rocky, even though it seems to be getting better, a lot of people through the recession, you know, they got debt, and it doesn't go away just because the economy numbers are looking better. But what happens when you apply for too many credit cards at one time is credit card issuers get kind of nervous these days. And so it could even trigger an issuer, you know, that you have a card with to lower your credit limit or just to keep an eye on you. And if you get too many cards at one time and you don't really have a handle on your spending, that opens the door for a lot of impulsive spending. So it's just, you know, it's a good idea to apply for one card at a time. Nobody needs tons of credit cards. So that would be the first step. And, you know, I think, you know, another mistake people make is not reading the fine print. And this is one reason why I do credit card reviews, is people have a place to come to understand what the fine print says, because the fine print is so difficult to read. They make it difficult, don't they? And it's, you know, partly because lawyers write this stuff, and it's designed to protect the credit card issuer, that it's very important that consumers read. There's this box on the disclosure statement called a Schumer box, and that's where you, and it is an actual box, and then inside, that's where your main information is, like your interest rate and fees and things like foreign transaction fees, things like that that you may not have even thought about. So at a very minimum, look at that so you know exactly what your interest rate is. You want to be sure that you've got a grace period. Believe it or not, some credit cards don't have grace periods, which means that as soon as you buy something, interest rates start ticking immediately on that interest expense. So there are a lot of goodies to be found in the fine print, and it's boring. It's very boring, but it's important to do that. And I would say another mistake is not tracking spending. This is how I first got into trouble with my cards. And, you know, there are so many tools out there now, free money management tools such as Mint, and Manila is another one that I like, where you can set up a budget and it lets you know when you're reaching your limits in particular categories. I get, you know, emails if I'm approaching a limit in a category. So it's very important to track your spending. Otherwise, you're going to end up putting more on your credit card than, you know, you were aware you were doing. It really can sneak up on you because, you know, when you use the card, it's like, it feels like no money has changed hands. So it's really, really important to track that spending.
And something you talk about in your book that I really like is credit card strategies that help you save a bundle on things like groceries, gas, and more. Tell us a little bit more about that.
All right, well, cash back credit cards are very, very popular. They're probably the most popular cards out there. And you can choose a card based on what your spending habits are. There are cash back cards such as, I'll give an example, the Chase Freedom card that has rotating categories. So with a card like that, you'll get 1% cash back on everything across the board. And then you'll have rotating categories that change quarterly. For like this month for the Chase Freedom card for October, November, December, they're giving 5% cash, 5%, that's pretty good, cash back on Amazon.com and I believe department stores. Discover It is another credit card that's cash back and has rotating categories. So if you're someone that wants to save on everyday expenses, you know, and I mentioned earlier, you know, sometimes you know, boomers have cash flow issues because they have all these increased expenses from other areas of their life. Cashback cards are a way to put some of that cash back in your pocket. It won't make you rich, but it might help ease the pain just a little bit if you're having some cash flow problems. But the important thing with that is to choose the card that matches your spending. American Express has some really good cashback cards. The Blue Cash Preferred. Believe it or not, now this is fabulous. Give 6% cash back on groceries.
That's great.
Isn't that great?
Oh.
That is capped at $6,000. But after that, you still get 1%, and I think they also get 3% on gas, and I think that's unlimited. So if you do a little research and you think about where you're spending the most and where you would like to save a little bit, you can match yourself up with a pretty good credit card. And the key, of course, is to pay the bill on time and never carry balance. Otherwise, you're wiping out your rewards.
So for people who want to get some credit card advice, get more information, or just see about your advice, where can they go for that?
Absolutely. I'm at BeverlyHarzog.com, and I do a lot of credit card reviews. I have a lot of them on my site already, and there's a handy search feature. I also, for those who are trying to rebuild credit and want to look at secured cards, I have a very thorough list of secured credit cards, and I have them ranked. And I have my review linked to each card. So it's easy to just get on. My readers have been fabulous about getting comments because no card is perfect. There's always something to, something to know about each card. So my readers have been great about sharing information. And as I mentioned, I also, you can ask me, just send me an email, through the contact form on my website. If there's a card that you can't find reviewed on my site, I'm happy to review it. I consider myself the piano player of credit card reviews. So I'm happy to do that. And I also blog about current events and credit card related, let people know, what they need to know about credit cards and current rewards, things like that.
Beverly, any final tip you can leave us with?
One thing that is very important, especially in the boomer generation, check your credit card accounts online regularly, maybe once or twice a week, especially during the holiday season, because boomers are, one of the groups that are most frequently targeted with fraud, as well as very young people. So, stay on top of that during the holiday season, especially. It's easy. You do have protections with credit cards, but it can be very annoying and very painful to have to recover from identity theft. It really can. So I just suggest that people do that, and you can really nip fraud in the bud pretty quickly.
It can really cause a lot of headaches.
It can. It can. It's very stressful. And another way to check for identity fraud is to check your credit reports regularly. You get three free credit reports from each of the major bureaus every 12 months. I spread mine out. I get one every 4 months, so I can just kind of get a picture of my credit health throughout the year. And that's another way to spot fraud and be sure everything looks okay. And to be sure that there are no errors on your report, because that can drag down your score. And as we've discussed, that can cost you money in other areas.
Is there an ideal credit score? I guess the bigger the better, huh?
FICO scores. We actually have tons of credit scores out there, and that can be confusing in itself. Credit card issuers are most concerned with your FICO score, and there are even a couple of different versions of that. But in general, I'm just speaking in general terms, you want a FICO score at least 750 and up. That's excellent. But if you've got a score between 700 and 750, that's good. And since our economy is rebounding a little, anyone who has a score of at least 720 is going to be considered for some pretty good credit card offers and good interest rates.
Great. Well, Beverly, you've been just a wealth of information, and I just really appreciate all your time.
Well, thanks, Andy. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to this BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts. You can click on the transcript section of the website. You can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Finally, we would love it if you could leave a comment, good, bad, or indifferent, in the reply section of the podcast. Thanks again.